days and full of trouble. He comes like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such an one, and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest, till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. And that is our starting place this morning. I don't know that I could give you a lesson text out of that. All of the scripture today, I guess, would be our lesson text. But for a few moments this morning, if we could title the lesson, it would be Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. Most of you all have probably heard those three words before. There's a famous document that has those three famous sayings in it. I'm not going to poll the audience this morning and ask you which one it came from, but there's a little thing written in 1776 called the Declaration of Independence, written by Thomas Jefferson and a few of his other comrades there. And they were writing this to the country, or the mother country, Great Britain or England. They were here and they were trying to get freedom, or to become a sovereign country from the motherland that they had already traversed from. And in that document it read, we would like, and it doesn't say this in these so few words, but this is what it means, is we would like our life, our liberty, and our happiness. We live in a society today where everybody thinks that they're owed something. I've said that before, I'll probably say it again, but I believe it to be the truth. We live in a country where everybody is trying their best to find the American dream. If I ask you this morning what the American dream would be, most of us would say, well, it's the white picket fence, the two-story house, and maybe an apple pie sitting in the window on Sunday afternoon. Most of us would say it's having a husband and a wife and 2.5 kids or whatever that your American dream would be, as Thomas Jefferson and them, as they began to write this Declaration of Independence, they really wanted to find their freedom. This is something that they had desired for many years as they had been here as pilgrims in this country. And so they write this letter, and in there they say, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Most of you today are going to think, I'd like to hear about that last part, and we'll get there. But you see, in order for us to truly be happy, we've got to follow a few simple steps. If I ask you today, how many of you are happy? I don't know how many of you raise your hands. We live in a society today where people seem to be as unhappy as they have ever been. You just look around this morning. You go outside, turn on your televisions, look at your social media. Everybody is unhappy this morning. Why is that? Because they don't have God in their life. I'm going to say this morning, in order to truly pursue happiness, you've got to have a few things. You've got to have life. You've got to have liberty, and then you'll have happiness. I want to prove that out this morning. Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, it says, God breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of mankind. Raise your hand this morning if you're here and you're alive. Every hand should go up. I'm not staring at a graveyard. Every one of us have been born of a woman, and we're a few days and we're full of trouble. The Bible says that we come from our mother's womb spewing lies and hypocrisy. Every one of you this morning, you're here and you're alive. I can see that. You can see that. Breathe if you're alive. Good, I got all of you this morning. But you see, there's more to just life than just life. You say, preacher, I don't understand a bit more what you're saying than I can fly. You read over in the New Testament. We talk about living I've heard all of my life as a young person, but preacher, I'm just trying to find myself. Guess what? I found myself one night on an altar of prayer when the Lord saved my soul. He gave me life more abundantly, John 10 and 10 says. What is life? The scripture, Christ was over in John chapter 3. Nicodemus came to him by night and he said, "What must I do? How can I be saved?" And he said, "You must be born again." If you've ever been around a Baptist church very long, you've heard us say, "We are born again." What do you mean? You say we're alive. How can we be born again? The Bible says that we are dead in our trespasses and our sins. We are dead to Christ and alive to sin. Every single one of us has a nature that is alive to sin. But Christ said, "Ye must be born again." What kind of born again are you talking about? I'm talking about a no-soul, heaven-sent, heartfelt salvation that makes us live from our very being, inside of our very being. When you talk about being born again, I'm talking about a new life where you die to sin and are alive to Christ. You cannot this morning truly be living until you've been saved. You will never experience life until you have truly been saved. When I was in high school, I heard teachers, everyone around me say, "Well, you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want. Just dream big." That's a big thing today. You just dream big. The bigger you dream, the more you'll achieve. Well, guess what? I hate to bring you down this morning, but you can't do always what you want. More than likely, you're not going to be what you want to be. I'll be just frank with you this morning. When I was a senior in high school, I had my life all planned out. I was going to graduate. I was going to go to Western Kentucky University. I was going to go be a middle school education major. I was going to graduate from there in 4 years. Still there, it's been more longer than 4 years. I was going to do that. I was going to graduate from college. I was going to go back to my hometown. I was going to teach at Franklin Simpson Middle School. I was going to work there for 30 years. I was going to retire and I was going to be happy. Guess whose life didn't turn out like that? Mine didn't. Guess where I'm at today? I'm pastoring a church in Nashville, Tennessee. I wasn't even preaching at the time. I'm 24 years old. Life hasn't gone exactly like I thought it was going to. Am I sad about it? Not one bit. Why? Because if I lived just for myself, I would be miserable this morning. But you see, if I just lived as Taylor wanted to live, I'd be in a world of hurt. But I live for Christ. The Bible says that when we live for Christ, that we are blessed. I believe the Bible speaks over and over and over about how blessed that those that live for Christ truly are. Turn with me this morning to Romans. Actually, 2 Corinthians. Sorry, I'll get there in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17. I've proved to you this morning where life comes from. God is the maker, the creator, the giver of life. I look around this morning. You didn't give yourself life. God gave it to you. And if you're still living, He is still blessing you with life. You didn't do it on your own. I've never seen a man make another man. I've never seen anybody go down, grab some dirt, pick it up, breathe the breath of life into their nostrils and make them a living, breathing being. They cannot do it. They'll never be what God has created. You look around, God gave the flowers, the trees, the birds, the animals. He gave them all life. It came from Him. He's the giver of those things. I want to prove to you now that God is the giver of liberty. I told you this morning that I will do my very best to try to keep this short and simple and to the point. Liberty, what is liberty? It is the state of being free or act as we please or act as it pleases us, but the state of being free. God gave us free will. He gave Adam and Eve the ability to do as they please, but it got them in trouble. Sure did. God can do things. He gives us our free will so that we will do what we please. I told you just a moment ago that when you're lost and out in sin and you've not been saved, you are dead to Christ and alive to sin. When you're saved, you're alive to Christ and you're dead to sin. I want to say this morning, if you're alive to sin, you're a slave to sin. It encapsulates us. It takes us and it wraps us up. Sin today has our world in a mess. Look around. Sin has done this. You say, preacher, God lets these things happen. Sin has happened. When sin entered into the world in the Garden of Eden, guess what? Sin has allowed and has been allowed to be a cancer on our society. People say today when bad things happen, why did God let that happen? God didn't let it happen. Sin let it happen. You can't blame things on God. Don't even try to blame things on God, because God gets accused of a lot of things He has never, ever done. And I want to talk about liberty for a few moments. Told you, these writers of the Declaration of Independence, they were looking for freedom. You see, at this point in history, they were taxing the colonies over here. They were taxing them just great amounts. And all of the money here was going back to England. And they were paying the tariffs for the crown or the queen or whoever that it was. They were imposing these taxes and they were making it very hard on the colonies over here. They were basically just annihilating them, making them under their rule. People today, you ask them, you can't do anything to me. You can't make me do anything. You can't tell me I'm going to do something. You look around at children today and sometimes you just think, I'd like to grab a hold of them and just wring their necks from the way that they act. We have a society where everybody wants to do as they please. Everybody wants their freedom. I would assume everybody here wants their life. If not, I'm sure there's ways to lose it. Everybody wants their liberty too. Everybody wants to be free. In our country's history, we had a movement where our country, and I'm sad to say, it's a dark blot on our country's history where we had slaves. But they wanted to be free. They wanted their liberties. I'm going to say this morning, for those that truly want liberty today in our societies, they would seek out the liberty of God. James, in the first chapter, I believe about the 25th verse, it talks about the perfect law of liberty. What is the perfect law of liberty? It's the gospel. What does the gospel do? When God saves our soul, and I believe for every person that has been saved or will be saved, they've got to know about Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And that is the gospel. If I've ever told it to you this morning, you've got to know that. You've got to know that He came, He died for you, and for you, if only you were the only one, and He was raised again on the third day. You say, what's that got to do with the perfect law of liberty? Let me tell you this morning, when Christ saves your soul, He gives you liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Turn back to Romans chapter 7. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What did Christ tell us?
when he was going away, he said, I will send another comforter. That being the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit.
Where does the Spirit dwell? For me, it dwells in my heart. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Told you the definition of liberty is to be set free. I want you to understand this morning, I have been set free from the bondage of sin. If you've been saved, you've been set free of the bondage of sin. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, it says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to him, ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin. You know, some of you are not going to like this next part. But ye became servants of righteousness. You say, preacher, we go from being enslaved to sin to being servants of righteousness. Guess what? The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Guess what? If you die in your sins, you go to hell. And guess what the Bible says? It says it's an everlasting death. How does that happen? It means you die and you never stop dying. Forever and ever and ever and ever you die. Let me ask you something this morning. Would you rather be enslaved to sin or be a servant, a willing servant of righteousness, of good things, of things of God? Wouldn't you rather be servants of righteousness? I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. What's the infirmity of flesh? Sin. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. The Bible says that God is holy, and therefore since He is holy, we should be holy ourselves. Holiness comes through sanctification. That is a progress that we must make every single day. It means praying, studying your Bible, attending church. It means being close to God. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Again, when you're a servant to sin, you are alive to sin, but dead to Christ. When you're saved, you're alive to Christ, but you are dead to sin. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You start talking about death around places and people start to scatter. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something today. None of us will ever be free from death in this body. Every single one of us has a time and a place where we will die. Sorry, I don't mean to upset you. I don't mean to hurt your feelings. You're not going to live forever in this body, but you will live forever somewhere. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Liberty. If I told you today you can have everything I've got for free, I bet you'd clean me out before the service was over. Guess what? I'm not that nice. I'm not giving you everything I've got. I'm not that nice. I don't want you to have everything I've got. But there is one thing I do want you to have, and that is the salvation that I have. That's a free gift. It says it's the gift of God. Every person that has ever been born has the ability to be saved. Every person that has ever been born has the ability to have life. You have the ability to have liberty.
And before everybody says he's the next Joel Osteen, let me just stop you just a moment. Every one of you can be happy. You can. Now that doesn't mean you're going to walk up here, put all of your money in my pocketbook or my wallet, and I'll bless you. No, it doesn't work that way. Your happiness is not dependent on things of this world. Turn with me back to the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Every one of you can be happy this morning. You all can walk out of here with a smile on your face. And then guess what? You can go through your life with a smile the rest of the time. Trust me, the world's gloom and doom enough. We need some happiness. I believe today that those that have been saved are actually in the pursuit of happiness. And I'm sorry this morning, my voice is just about gone. So if you'll bear with me just a little bit longer, I'll be done, I promise. But I want to give you the guide to happiness. No, it's not smile. Everything's all hunky-dory, because I want to be honest with you this morning. I don't like to sugarcoat things. In case you've ever wondered, life is hard. There are things that happen to us that make us unhappy. Every one of us have a bad day every now and then. You can either be honest with yourself or lie to yourself, but you and the Lord know. You've had a bad day before. You've said things you didn't mean. You've done things that you didn't mean. You've hurt people's feelings. They've hurt your feelings. But there's still happiness to be found in this world. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, I'm sorry. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, turn back. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 4. It says, I made me great works. I builded me houses and I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and woman singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great. Sounds good, doesn't it? So I was great. I had all of these things. So everything that I did was just great. Wrong. And increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, my wisdom remained with me. Do you remember Solomon? One of the most wise men that there ever has been. Probably the most wise man that has ever been. He said, I did all of these things. Had all of this stuff. Thought that I was great. Look how great I am. Guess what the world measures greatness by today? How much you have, how much you don't have. Forbes list is never going to mention Taylor Gregory on their list. I can guarantee that. I will never be a billionaire, and that's okay. With more money comes more responsibility. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I got everything that I wanted. If I wanted it, I went and I got it. I withheld not my heart from any joy. Boy, I found everything that brought me joy and I went and I got it. For my heart rejoiced in all of my labor. And this was my portion of all of my labor. If you stop right there, boy, it sounds real good, doesn't it? He just had everything. We look around us today and we want more today than I guess anybody in history has ever wanted. Why? Because there seemingly is more out there for us to have. Tell you what, for all of us, the things that make us happy, and I preached a sermon a couple Sundays ago, the things that I love. Boy, the things that we think we love, we really try to get. We really do. I was telling Brother Coleman this morning, there's a Lexus that went by across the street. And I said, boy, that sure is a pretty Lexus. I'd like to have that thing. I said, but I don't have it. I don't have the money to have one. So I might as well stop thinking about it. So I left it there. I'd love to have one. Not going to get it. But I'd love to have one. Then I looked on all of the works that my hands had wrought.
Listen closely this morning. And on the labor that I had labored to do. What did Solomon say? He says, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. I have everything and none of it has profited me. Now what? I have thought all of these things would make me happy. Have you ever known someone that just could not stop? The more they had, the more they had to have. The more they wanted, the more they wanted more. The more that they thought that they had, the more protective they were of it. They didn't want anybody else to enjoy it. They didn't want anybody else to have it. And they became miserable. Happens when you have things of this world. Happens when you think your happiness depends on things of this world. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, first chapter. Psalms 1, verse 1. We'll read the whole thing. It's 6 verses. Bear with me just a moment. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Everybody's probably standing up here saying, the preacher thinks if you've got a lot of money, you're a terrible person. No, I don't. I think people can be blessed with things in this world. I really do. I believe God blesses us with things. I really believe that. But I want you to understand something this morning. You can have it all. You could be Bill Gates rich this morning and be unhappy. I heard a man a few years ago at the ministry school. He preached on the Thursday night service. He was moving. He was leaving his home in Indiana, and he was going to pastor a church in Florida. And he said, I figured out real quick, you can be just as happy in a studio apartment as you can in a 4-bedroom, 3-bath house with 3 garages on the front. Figured out real quick, you can be happy like that. And I thought, well, you're giving up all of that to go live in a studio apartment, really? The one thing that I realized at that moment, I had just been preaching a very short time. Happiness is not found in this world. Happiness today is an emotion that we feel that's kind of fleeting. Some of us, myself included, I can be happy one minute and just as down the next. We live in a world where our happiness is taken from us. Why is that? Because the things of this life, they're temporal. They will not last. They're not meant to last. They'll be burned up with a fire when this life is all over. So what about this pursuit of happiness? We've got our life, true life from God above. We've got our liberty from God above. Guess where our happiness comes from? God above. True happiness is not found in the things that you think you need or the things that you want. True happiness is being found when God saves your soul and then you start living for Him. It is. Say, preacher, you're just saying that so you'll get people to come to church on Sunday morning. Guess what? All of my life, I've heard people say, as a Baptist, will you believe you can get saved and do whatever you want to and go to heaven? Well, guess what? You can get saved and do everything you can to try to lose your salvation you won't and still go to heaven. But guess what? You will be unhappy all the days of your life, even though there's happiness in here. You can do everything wrong and make your way to heaven.
but you will be unhappy here. It is a whole lot better. I want to say this morning, and I pray that you'll take it in the way that it's meant. It is better to forsake this world and follow Christ and be nothing and be happy than it is to be in a big mansion on the side of the hill with nothing and to be lonely and sad all the days of your life. Happiness is not about what's in your bank account this morning. There are people today, I guarantee you, that are sitting somewhere worried about how much is in that bank account or how much they can add to it. You know where true happiness lies in a Christian's life? When they're in the will of God. When a person is not in the will of God, you'll find your life being miserable. You will find your life being just destructive. Job also said, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, you can laugh if you want to, a lot of them are, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away." God can give it all to you, but He can also take it all away to make you realize just how much that you need Him. Today we're living in probably one of the biggest cities in our area. I look out these doors today at these cars passing by. Some of them probably have read the Declaration of Independence. I don't know. They've probably seen those words, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. There was a movie a few years ago that Will Smith starred in. It was called Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Happiness. I didn't watch it. I've never watched it. I may after I preach this sermon. I don't know. But a lot of people think that's what our life here on earth is all about. Pursuing that life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness in a carnal way. It's not. The pursuit of happiness really comes when you pursue the things of God. When you pursue the things that God would have in your life. I want to close in just a moment. I read about a man named David. David, the Bible says, was a man after God's own heart. David also had a lot. David was the king. David could have had whatever he wanted. No doubt there were happy days in David's life. But David also made some mistakes in his life as well. Most of you all have heard about a little lady named Bathsheba. David found this woman and he thought, she looks really pretty. Looked out and he saw her bathing. And he thought, I've got to have her. Maybe in his mind he thought, that'll make me happy if I have her. He had so many wives and concubines already. It was not even, probably, I couldn't even count them on both hands, feet, and all of them counted 4 or 5 times. But he thought, just one more thing would make me happy. And so he did the very best that he could to get old Bathsheba. In fact, he got Bathsheba. Her husband was out fighting in the war for David's country. David brings him back. Bathsheba had become pregnant. Obviously, it wasn't her husband that did it because he was out at war. And so, David brings the man back and the man sleeps on the front porch. So David's plan of this husband and wife having this child together or making it appear that they had this child together, it was thwarted. He still didn't lay with his wife. So David says, "Will you take that man and you send him back out to war? And you put him on the very front lines." The man's killed. He covered up a secret. Covered up things that he thought nobody else would know except a man named Nathan. Old Nathan came to him and he said, "David, we've got a serious issue in our kingdom. There's this man who has all of this stuff, all of these sheep, all of these cattle, all of these oxen. And he's just got more than he can even number now." Nathan says, "But there's this one little farmer who has but one little sheep or oxen or cattle." I can't remember necessarily what he said. And David became enraged. He said, "You go and you get that man and you bring him to me and I'll have him put to death."
How dare he try to do that?
Nathan looked at David and he said, "You're the man. You're the man, David. You're the one that has done this. And guess what? God will punish you for what you've done." David had a child.
Guess what God did? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
God gave David that child, and guess what he did?
He took it right away. David became angry. He went and he rent his clothes and he sat in sackcloth and ashes.
And he was in miserable shape. He fasted. He did everything he thought he could so that this child would live. Child died. Child died. When he found out the child had died, the servants came in and David just got up. And he said, "I don't understand why you were so upset when the child was going to die and there was hope. And now that it has died, you're just up and you're going on your way." And he said, "There's one thing I know. I cannot bring this child back to me, but I can go to that child. He can't come back to me, but I sure can go to him." You see, David made mistakes. David thought his happiness would rest in things of this world. David was a saved man. But you see, when we think our happiness is more about what we've got here than on the things of God, we are in trouble. May God bless you, is our prayer this morning. Our life is in His hands. Our liberty is in His hands. And thanks be unto God, my happiness rests in Him. I'm going to tell you real quick, then I'm going to close. I've had a lot of happy days in my life. Truly, I have. I've been so blessed. There's one night, July 14th of 2004. I got down on my knees at an altar of prayer, right in the front seat at Pleasant Hill Missionary Baptist Church, right in the middle of the front seat. I bowed before God. The Scripture says we have to forsake father, mother, sister, brother, our lands, everything we've got, and follow Him. You know what I did that night? I gave up everything that I had. Even myself. I would have gladly died to stop feeling that pain and that agony that I was in.
We talked about it in Sunday school. There's conviction that comes before salvation. If you are not convicted, you'll never be saved because you will not realize that you need something. Oh, but then I put my faith, my trust, and my belief in Him, and I repented of my sins. You see, those things, they're all in one thing. When you put your belief, your trust, and your faith in Him, you will repent of your sins. And then guess what He did? Peter says it was joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's so good this morning. Webster's dictionary doesn't have the right words for it. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable this morning. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've got my life, my liberty, and my pursuit of happiness. And guess what? I'm 24 years old. I've got a long life ahead of me if God would see fit. And I've already accomplished what the world thinks that they're trying to do. Not a pat on my back. It's thanks to Calvary. Thanks to God this morning. May God bless you. While we stand together, while we sing, if you're here this morning and you are lost and you know that you're lost, I beg you to seek the Lord while He may be found. You'll find life, liberty, and happiness all in one fell swoop. All you got to do is seek the Lord. He'll save your soul while we stand together and while we sing.